following study was given by Pastor John Corson at the Applegate Christian Fellowship.
I hope that you've taken the challenge to memorize the Ten Commandments and teach them to your children. That's the assignment, is each week to learn the commandment that we're studying through and teach them to your kids too. Not just to memorize, but also to explain to the kids what the commandment really means and why it's there. So, the first commandment, commandment number one, is, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Again, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Commandment number two, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." Once more, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." And commandment number three, we're studying that right now. So turn to Exodus 20, verse 7. Father, I pray that as we consider your word together, that the Holy Spirit would be the instructor. That we would understand what you would say to us in our lives this day. And that we would be doers of the word. And teachers of our children and others. So Father, I pray that our ears would be opened. And our hearts would be readied to receive the things that you wish to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 7 of Exodus chapter 20. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." The Ten Commandments are, if you would, the manufacturer's instructions about how life might be lived most successfully. You see, God is our manufacturer. He is our creator. He is our designer. And He knows how life will work best. So He's given us some instructions, 10 commandments, to provide a foundation for us that we might be blessed. Now, virtually every thinking person would agree that life works best, whether it's life individually, or life as a family, or life as a nation corporately. Just about everyone who is a thinking person would agree that life works best if there's not murdering going on, or stealing taking place, or lying or falsifying allowed. Everybody would say, yeah, our society or our family will work best if people aren't murdering each other, or stealing from each other, or lying to each other. Everybody would say, those make sense. We could agree that that's the way that life would work best. But when it comes to commandment number three, that's a different story. The commandment here that thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, people generally would say, hey, what's the big deal? Everybody takes the Lord's name in vain occasionally. It's no biggie. But wait, you might have caught this. God declares in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not steal, and He leaves it at that. But with commandment number three, He adds on, He amplifies, He says essentially, I'm deadly serious about this. He says, after declaring, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, He goes on to say, unlike many of the other commandments, He has more to say. He says, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. In other words, God is saying, this is exceptionally serious. we would say, what's the biggie? So a person swears occasionally, or lapses and uses a blasphemy or a profanity. No biggie. God says, biggie. He says, not so. I will not hold him guiltless who doesn't give heed to this command, who uses my name in a vain kind of way. Why? How could this? Is God so uptight about his name? Is he that arrogant or that haughty that he just says, I don't want my name bantered about because I'm bigger than you and I want you to do what I say. Don't use my name in a vain way. Is that God's heart? Is he like Johnny Carson? Remember about 10 years ago, Johnny Carson was the king of late night TV. And Johnny Carson filed a multi-million dollar lawsuit against a kitty litter product called Johnny Cat. And it was a kitty box filler, a litter box filler. And the advertisements on TV for Johnny Cat, the kitty litter, you would see a cat walking towards the litter box where Johnny Cat was inside, and you would hear a voice saying, and here's Johnny, as he went and did his thing in the box. Well, Johnny Carson was offended by that. He was upset with that. And so he filed a lawsuit and he won many millions of bucks from Johnny Cat litter box filler. Now, is that God's heart and mentality? Is he saying, look, it's my name and just don't mess it up because of, well, I don't want to be offended like Johnny Carson with Johnny Cat. I don't think so. I don't think that's where God is at. Here's the deal. There is a reason why God declares, I am really serious about this command that you don't take my name in vain. I'm serious about it for a couple of reasons I think we can think through here today. Number one, first of all, when we let the Lord's name be taken in vain, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. When we take his name in vain, there is, first of all, number one, a terrible trivialization. Number one, a terrible trivialization. A terrible trivialization. What do you mean? The Lord's name, when it's bantered about in situation comedies on TV, or in action flicks at Tinseltown, or over the radio, whatever it might be, when the Lord's name is used in a vain, empty way, for that's what it means, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The word vain means emptied of meaning. Vanity in the Bible means emptiness. It's not to be a name that is emptied of meaning. What are you saying? When the Lord's name is used in a vain kind of way, just as a curse word or a street slang expression, whatever it might be, listen, it desensitizes people to the name, the powerful name, the potent name, the name that Acts chapter 4, verse 12 tells you and me, there is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. The name that Song of Solomon says is sweeter, or pardon me, his name is as ointment poured forth, more fragrant than perfume, you see. The name of the Lord. When it is bantered about, people become desensitized to it, so that when you talk about Jesus Christ, when you talk about God, they've heard the name so many times in such slangy ways that it doesn't impact them. There's a desensitization. That is why Satan is behind blasphemy and profanity. It is to desensitize people. It's to make them unaware, desensitized to the name, Jesus, God, or the reality of hell and damnation. Interesting. Back in the late 40s, when Gone with the Wind first came out, It was a huge controversy, for at the end of the movie, Clark Gable said, "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn." Sermons were preached, editorials were written, controversy swept across the nation. How could it be that the word damn was allowed to be used in that way, profanely, in a movie? It was the first time a four-letter word was used in that way. Because you see, in those days, a generation or two ago, people understood the meaning of damn. It means doomed to hell. It means lost eternally. Damnation is a theological word, but it has been trivialized. To now people say damn this and damn that, whether they be comedians on TV or right-wing talk show hosts, whoever they may be, the word damn is used. To do what? Satan's behind that. To make people not understand the reality of damnation. To trivialize hell. That's why hell is used constantly in a way that's profane. Nobody says, "Oh, heaven." Not that I've heard. But be that as it may, it's not used that way. Why? Because there is a force at work. The enemy is at work to try and get people to use it so frequently, so commonly, so thoughtlessly, that people no longer even consider its reality, folks. So that when people talk about damnation and hell, Jesus Christ and God, those words have been emptied of their potency, emptied of their meaning, emptied of their impact. It's all part of Satan's strategy to trivialize words that are hugely important, deadly serious, and to make the name of Jesus just commonplace. So when we talk about Jesus, they've heard it, the name no longer impacts them or affects them like it would have had it not been profaned so freely, had there not been such an abundance of blasphemy. Listen. God says, if you would, the stakes are high. It's not about me being offended, God would say. It's about people being lost and going to hell because they've been desensitized to the reality of the name that will save them, of the reality of where they're going to head if they don't receive Him. The words have lost their impact. Because they've been used in a vain way. When people use the name of the Lord vainly, it causes people to be desensitized to His reality. God says, "I will not hold him guiltless." Those who take the name of the Lord in vain. Now, not only is it a terrible trivialization, but secondly, there are real ramifications. You may say, "Hey, listen, John, I'm born again. I love the Lord. My name is written in the book of life. So it's not a matter of me being, I don't know, unaware or unaffected by the name of Jesus or the reality of hell." No. I've got that already wired. I'm a believer, but I do admit that sometimes profanity does cross my lips. Sometimes blasphemy does take place. But what's the big deal? God says, "I'm deadly serious about this because there are real ramifications." What do you mean? You mean if I use the name of the Lord in vain, He's going to crack the whip on my back? He's going to get the wooden spoon out and chasten me? He's going to bust me for my profanity, my blasphemy? Not necessarily. It does mean this, that God will not hold him guiltless. That is, there is going to be consequences to blasphemy, to profanity. How so? Jot this verse down. I don't want you necessarily to take time to turn there right now, but jot it down if you're a note taker. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19. And teach this to your kids and your grandkids as well. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19, God says, listen, thine own wickedness, it shall correct thee, and thy backslidings, they shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that thou hast forsaken the Lord. What God is saying is this, your own wickedness and your own backslidings, that is what is going to correct you. Not me getting out the wooden spoon and paddling you. Not me cracking the whip on your back. Your own sin. Jeremiah chapter 2 says, your own sin is going to come back and haunt you. Your own sin is going to be what corrects you. You see, the sin that we do, it's forgiven. Washed away by the blood of Jesus who died that day on Calvary's cross. We're forgiven, but the repercussions of sin will still come our way. Yes, we're forgiven. He paid the price completely that day, but we will be chastened, disciplined. How? By God simply allowing the repercussions to come. Wait a minute, you're confusing me, John. So if I use the name of the Lord in vain, or if I use blasphemy, profanity, there's going to be repercussions. Listen carefully. Yes. Not God busting you necessarily, but rather the repercussions of your own sin will work correction in you. How? Think with me. You're there, guys, putting up that shelf, working away. You're hammering it into the wall. On the fourth hammer, your aim is a little bit off. And the hammer connects to your thumb. What happens? Well, right then, so many men are so very vulnerable to taking the Lord's name in vain. And here's why it's so crazy. Here's the ramifications that will come your way. A man may say, God damn it. In so doing, it's absolutely crazy. You are, even as there is name, power, pardon me, power in the name, in the name, in the name, power to save, power to heal. Those that call upon His name shall be saved. There's deliverance in His name. There's blessing in His name. There's power in His name. So too, when it's used in a negative way, you're naive or you're uninformed or you're biblically illiterate if you say, there'll be no negative repercussions. Yes, just like there is positive blessings when His name is used properly, when you call upon the name of the Lord, so too, when you blaspheme using the name of the Lord, there are repercussions. You are basically calling upon God to damn that which you're doing. What do you mean? You're calling on God in your frustration, in your anger, in your stupidity, really. God, this project I'm working on, may it just go up in blazes. May it just fall apart. May it be doomed to destruction. That's real dumb when you really think about it. Here you are, working on this shelf, putting up that thing or doing whatever you're doing, and now you're bringing God's name in a way that causes destruction, that causes defeat, that causes negativity. That's why a person who is given to profanity or blasphemy, it's like, well, how can I explain this? It's like a person who's been smoking cigarettes year after year, pack after pack, a chain smoker. Person who's really a heavy smoker, you know what happens. There's problems. Oh, not just their lungs and heart, that too. But their skin wrinkles prematurely and sags early. And you can tell, you can look at a smoker who's been really heavily addicted to smoking over many years, and you can see it on their face. There's a wrinkledness. There's a sagginess. A person who blasphemes, who takes the name of the Lord in vain, there is a sagginess of their spirit. There's a shriveling of their soul. There's a diminishing of who they are, and there is, when they pronounce the name of the Lord in vain, it's also causing a negative reaction to take place, a negative repercussion to unfold. The worst thing you can do when you're frustrated is to use the Lord's name in vain, to use profanity. You're only compounding the problem. What should I say then, John, if I hit my thumb with a hammer? Oh, bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your word says, Lord, that all things work together for good. I believe you for that, Lord. Now you're bringing in the power of the name, salvation and health and success and blessing. Whereas before, if you use it in blasphemy, you are bringing in negative things, you see. That's what we got to teach our kids. It's really dumb. That's why God says, I'm not going to hold you guiltless. It means there's going to be repercussions upon those who are guilty of taking my name in vain, you see. Kids don't understand that. They hear it so much, they're exposed to it so often, they think it's no big deal. There are powers in the words that we say. And Satan knows that. So not only is there a terrible trivialization, but there are real ramifications when a person takes the name of the Lord in vain. But I want you to see something else here. I want you to really key in on this scripture in a way that perhaps you never have before. Notice what it says, Mom and Dad. Notice what it says, Grandpa, Grandma. Notice what it says, young person. It says, thou shalt not take. Thou shalt not take. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. It doesn't say simply, thou shalt not speak or utter. It says, you're not to take it. What do you mean, John? It says, you're not to take it. What do you mean, John? We live in a day of great, great sensitivity. Ethnic groups, special interest groups, people say, we are not going to take racial slurs anymore. We are not going to take put downs any longer, whether it be the lesbians or whether it be the Republicans or whether it be whoever it might be. Ethnically, racially, people today in our culture, we're very, very careful. We're learning to be that we don't say anything offensive about any other group because groups are saying, we will not take it any longer. So everybody is careful, walking on eggshells about what they say. Everybody is careful with a great degree of sensitivity, except when it comes to the name of Jesus. Kick him in the teeth. The name of God. Drag it through the mud, on the screen, in the music. Doesn't matter. You mock Buddha, you'll hear from the ACLU. You make fun of some Indian religion, you're going to be in trouble. But you can take the name of Jesus Christ and you can put it in any trashy movie or any sitcom that's silly and stupid, and the name Jesus, or God, or damn, or hell, or whatever it might be, all of those words are fine and dandy. God says, listen, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You are not to take it. Oh, Pastor John, I never say it. I never use the Lord's name in vain. Good for you, but do you take it? What do you mean? The video you watched last night that you got from Blockbuster, was the Lord's name being used in vain? And if it was, did you take it? What do you mean, did I take it? Did you let it come over the airwaves in your front room, into your eardrums, or your kids, or your spouse, or your grandchildren? Did you take it? Did you sit there and just take it as His name is being profaned and blasphemed? That is sin. That is what this commandment is talking about. Thou shalt not let the Lord's name be taken in vain. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord. You're not to take it. You're not to absorb it. You're not to tolerate it. You're not to receive it. What? In this culture? In our day? Wait a minute. What are you saying? I'm saying that if you're at Tinseltown in a movie, and you're there, and you've been there for 30 minutes when suddenly the characters are using the Lord's name in vain, you are not to take it. Any more than an ethnic group or a political group would sit there if their group was being attacked, slandered, put down. You, even more so, as a child of God, God says, my name must be respected and my name must be protected. Because it's too important. The stakes are too high. If my name is trivialized, people won't receive my son. There's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. And if you allow that, John, to go in the ears of your kids over and over, know this, there's going to be severe repercussions. I will not hold him guiltless. There's going to be repercussions. But my kids don't say those things. It's just that they come on TV. What do you want me to do? I want you to, if you're at Tinseltown, stand up and walk out. Oh, man. I spent $21 for popcorn. You know, we got all settled in. Get real. Be practical. What am I supposed to do? You take your kids to McDonald's. Or you take your kids to Marie Callender's and you perhaps buy them a hot fudge sundae and you sit down and you teach them. And you say, kids, we're not trying to be goody two-shoes or pharisaical religious phonies. We're not trying to be huffy and puffy. But kids, honey, listen, you got to know something. I love you too much to allow you to take the Lord's name being used in vain, because it's going to affect you. There is power in words. There's a power in the blessing, and there's a power in the blasphemy. And if I allow you to sit there and listen to that, it's going to have a negative impact upon your heart and upon your soul. There's going to be a diminishing of who you are. It's an attack from the enemy. Who of us moms and dads would say, well, there's proof that they put some cyanide in the popcorn at Tinseltown. But after all, I already bought the bucket. So we'll just take our chances and hope that the popcorn doesn't impact us too badly. What parent would say, so here, honey, have some more popcorn? No parent, at least no sane person, would say, well, we'll take our chances. Don't you understand that God says, I'm deadly serious about this? It's poison. Do not take it. So are you... You're saying to leave the theater? Yep. To turn off the video and take it back to Blockbuster? Yep. And do what? And then teach your kids or teach your spouse or talk it over together with the person that you're with about why this is subtle and sick, why it's dangerous and infectious. Well, if every time something comes on the video or on TV that we have to use that time to train our kids, we're going to be teaching our kids all the time. Exactly. That's it. That's the point. Your kids will either grow up defiled, diminished, and you'll wonder, why aren't they spiritual? Why are they having problems? Why is there seeming to be this thing hovering over them, this curse upon them, as you sat there hour after hour and let profanity and blasphemy, as you let it happen to your kids or to your wife or to your hubby. I will not hold him guiltless, God says. Not I'm going to bust him, God says, but you're going to get busted. It's going to have an impact on you. You see, that same thing is true when we talk about sexual matters too. Why are four-letter words used constantly on TV? Jokes and double entendres and innuendos. Why? Because Satan is behind it. Knowing that when those words are spoken and absorbed in the ears of our children or ourselves, there is a real impact. There's a diminishing. There's a letting down of the guard. There's an accepting. When people watch, when kids watch Dawson Creek, I tell you what's happening. The boundaries are eroding, the walls are destroyed, and the morals are breaking down. You cannot, you must not, you should not let that happen if you care about your family, if you care about your marriage, if you care about yourself. There is a power there. God says, when it comes to my name, there's power in my name. There's power for blessing. But in blasphemy, there is a negative repercussion that will be very damaging and detrimental. These are tough things because we live in sick times. I know. I'm a parent. I'm a person. I know. What do you do when you're watching something really excellent on television? A quality kind of story. Not some sitcom or some WB thing. But you're watching something of quality, and then out of nowhere, the characters that appear start using blasphemy, profanity. What do you do? It's a tough call. It's a tough thing. But a parent like you, a parent like me, what we've got to do is say, Lord, give me sensitivity to monitor this thing properly. And you're sitting there and I hope that's just one time they used the name of God, the name of Jesus. But one time may be one time too many. And the Holy Spirit may very well say to you, I know the story is lovely, but it's subtle. And there is poison embedded in that beautiful story. Turn it off right now and talk to your kids. Or perhaps he will say to you, let it go. But I'm telling you, if you have the freedom to continue on in the story, you better keep your antenna up. You better keep your heart open. You better be in communion with the Lord because you're in dangerous territory. You're on thin ice. I can't tell you exactly what to do. But I can say we need a whole lot more sensitivity. We need a whole lot more understanding. We need to say, Father, for some reason in this third commandment, you attach this word to shake us to the core, to say I'm serious about this when my name is being used profanely, trivially. So, okay. We're not to let. We're not to take it. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That means I'm not to take it. I'm not only not to say it, but I'm not to take it. I'm not to let it happen around me. Well, okay, so that might work when you can turn off the TV or walk out of the movie theater, but what do you do, man, about the people you work with, you're surrounded by, who are saying His name in vain constantly? What do you do? I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you the Lord will. I can recall a couple years ago, I shared with you this story already, but I was at the YMCA and a guy comes into the locker next to me. I'm putting my shirt on. He throws his ball racket in the locker. He's upset. He lost the game. And he says, oh, Jesus Christ. And I said, oh, you know him too? Isn't he great? I have found that he is wonderful. I'm so glad you know him. And I began to talk. I just kept on talking to this guy and his jaw just kind of dropped, you know. And he looked at me like, and I was able with good cheer just to talk to him about Jesus Christ. I was pretending as though he was using the name in a different kind of way. He came in later on, a few days later, and guess what? He didn't say that again. He didn't want to hear another one of those sermons, I think. A friend of mine went and took his car into a mechanic, and the car opened up the hood and began to wrench some things around inside. The wrench slipped, and he said, God damn it. And my friend said, oh, please don't do that. Do what? Please don't ask God to damn it. I really like that car. I need that car. And the mechanic looks up at him, and he says, yeah, I don't want that car sent to hell or going up in flames. I really need that car. And this guy began to share in good cheer. In good cheer, he began to share a witness to that guy that blasphemed. Good thing. You see, every time that the Lord's name is used in vain, we don't have to take it, but we can turn it. We can turn it in some way to talk about our Lord, not as a goody two-shoes, not as a religious, self-righteous prude, but to simply say, we're not going to take that, you know, and we're going to clarify the issue. We're going to make a stand. We're going to share the truth whenever we can. I know it's not always easy. I'm not talking about being cute and clever necessarily. That's not always easy to do. But I am saying that we're determined that we're not going to take it any longer, because we understand that our Father is serious about this, and it's not going to happen around us if we can help it. We're going to correct it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to teach our children when it happens. We're going to turn off the TV. We're going to walk out of the theater. We will not take it passively any longer. We're not going to take the name of the Lord in vain, because it will shrivel our souls. It'll diminish our walks. It'll cause us to wrinkle up and sag spiritually. And when we curse and blaspheme, all we're doing is being counterproductive to the thing that we're concerned about, frustrated with, struggling through. If I curse it and call upon the name in a profane kind of way, I'm only setting myself back further. It's a dumb thing to do. The Lord says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Don't take it. Not only don't talk it, that's obvious. Don't take it. John, you've just pretty much wiped out a lot of entertainment. True. Because the entertainment is full of subtle poison that's going to damage you and your children. And your kids are going to have to be talked to and taught and trained. Because Christians today go to movies and watch TV and videos and music that are full of profanity, blasphemy, and all sorts of sin, and they say, well, I'm just sitting here. No, you're taking it. You're taking the name of the Lord your God in vain. You are violating the third commandment, and God says there will be repercussions. There will be. There's no way to avoid it. So wise is the man, the husband, the father, the wife, the granddad, the grandmother, who says, no longer. We're not going to take it anymore. The name of the Lord will be respected and it will be reverenced. It will be respected by us and protected by us in this house as a family. The name of the Lord is respected and protected. We will not let His name be taken in vain. And you'll be blessed. You might have to discover whole new ways to be entertained as a family. Good. You might have to develop whole new interests in your own personal entertainment. Wonderful. You'll do better. You'll be healthier. You'll be richer. Your marriage will be stronger. Your kids will be more fruitful and effective. It's a winner, man, if you go the Lord's way. Don't take it, the Lord's name being used in vain. Let's pray. Father, again I wonder how much damage has already been inflicted upon our kids, our spouses, our own souls, because we have just sat there and taken it over and over, hour after hour, year after year. When, Father, you give us a very wise and beautiful word that there will be some sad and serious repercussions to those who take it, who take your name being used in vain. Forgive me, Father, forgive us. Lord, we don't want to be Pharisees. We don't want our lives to be viewed as prudish in a negative way. But Father, more than that, we want to honor You. We don't want to live in the fear of men. We want to live in the fear of You. To stand for what's righteous and good and beautiful and true. And I pray that You would help us, Lord. Whether it's comedians on TV or music that's played on stations, whatever it might be, that we would not tolerate it any longer for us or our families. Father, I'm sorry that we have let down our standards, and so people in our country no longer are in awe of Your name, no longer consider hell to be a reality, no longer can even define the word damnation. And the consequences are serious. Souls are lost and headed for hell. Father, I pray that You would change us first. Before we can see a change in the nation, there needs to be a change in me, in us, in this congregation, in the church, in the Christian community across this country. There needs to be a change in us. Search our hearts. I pray, Father, although the study was said clumsily, I pray that You would make application exactingly. That You, Lord, would share with each man and every woman, each teenager, young adult, that Your ways make sense. They're right. They're excellent. And may we use Your name to bless, not to curse. May we see purity as we don't allow ourselves to speak profanities, vulgarities. Help us, Lord. Have mercy on us. And this we pray in the righteous, holy, powerful, precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
That concludes our study. We pray that the Lord has spoken to you through it. A catalog of the hundreds of teachings by Pastor John is available. If you'd like a copy, simply call us at 1-888-544-4858. Or write to us. Our address is Post Office Box 1090, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530. May the Lord rich...
Chapters of Exodus...